Karen Meisner and Per Vinzel live in a home situated along the Winooski River in Plainfield, Vermont. They experienced catastrophic flooding in July of 2023. This summer, they were nearly finished with cleanup, and then they were hit hard again. The Winooski became a lake around their home, their kitchen filled with mud, and more than a month later, they are still wondering how to proceed. Here's Karen Meisner.
It's been really hard not to just completely despair. Everybody is being so helpful and so communal about like trying to volunteer and work together, but everybody's home is their own problem. And nobody knows how buyouts are going to work. You know, we don't want to do that. It crushes us to think of having to turn this house over to get destroyed, but we don't know if that's even an option for us. It would be nice to know if it was an option because we don't know what our other options are.
This is Per Vinzel.
This is basically a jigsaw puzzle, right? Where you can lay down possible paths into a better future. You know, like maybe if we do this and this and this, and we apply for this grant from FEMA and maybe this thing from the state, we can cobble together something that really works. The problem is that, like, you know, when you get up in the morning and you're just like, I'm going to get to work on fixing this, you want to have some confidence that you can see how to get there. And right now, it's like 20 different things. We talk to all kinds of people who are very helpful and informative on their specific piece, but it's still up to us to put together a whole plan that actually works and that we can have confidence in. There's things we shouldn't do now if we're going to flood again. There's things we shouldn't do now if by some chance we go through with the buyout program. There's some things we shouldn't do if we're going to rip up the ground and elevate the building. Do we spend money now to make a livable house? Do we just sort of wait and pursue these different leads?
It's all we talk about. What to do to make things better in the short term, trying to figure out if there are things we can do to make things better in the long term. But we're also trying to figure out, like, how is it possible to be in a situation where there's just no solution? Is that where we are?
What would it mean if you were in a situation where there was no solution?
You know, either we fix it and we don't know how, or we live with the way it is, which is so unbelievably depressing and unsustainable, or we leave. And we couldn't even sell the place. Who would buy a flooded house if we couldn't fix it? So we just go broke and crawl off somewhere where it's not flooding constantly and try to find a way to live there. It just feels like there isn't a way out, and we can't stay the way it is.
My greatest dream is that somebody will be able to come in and just give us a ton of actionable advice, things that we hadn't thought of, ways to piece all this together. I don't think that exists, but we have that urge, and I think every single one of us have that urge, but we're all sort of walking into this new world side by side, and we haven't really started perhaps talking to one another about what we're going through and what can be done. Like,
you're on the edge of the thing that we all know, but we're boiling slowly, like,
yeah,
frogs,
right.
but the thing is, I'm over here boiling, but I'm not flooded.
Yeah.
How do you wake everybody up? Talk to those people who are, they're like, yeah, you're right. There's a lot of, yeah, you're right, but I have laundry, and then I got to pick my kid up at school.
Right.
I mean, we're all like that, right? There's a million disasters happening everywhere all the time, and you only have bandwidth for your own and those of your neighbors and, you know, a few people you know, maybe. I don't expect people who aren't going through it to necessarily understand what it's like to be like an American climate change early adopter. You know, but here we are.
I wanted to sit a bunch of people, perhaps people who have been through this, but maybe everyone, just sit down and sort of look everybody in the eye and say, like, what does this really mean? What can we do? What do we have to change? Let's not distract ourselves with the laundry or picking up the kids. Let's actually grapple with the imminent future. How do you sort of communally acknowledge that the way things used to be are not available anymore? Because that is really hard, but it's absolutely crucial. But like, that is a really strange and difficult conversation to start. You know, it's like inviting people to a really crappy
worst barbecue ever.
Yeah.
the toll that it takes on a marriage. What is the different quality in the challenge interpersonally after this second flood?
We had a rough year. We have had more intense confrontations in the last few months than ever in our marriage. But you get to sort of meet each other anew.
I've pretty much wanted to kill him for like a year straight.
Have you? You didn't say.
No. I mean, what he says is true. We've been together like, I don't know, 30 odd years now. And this last year has been some of the worst. It's been so, so hard on us because not only is there just endless amounts of work that has to be done, but everywhere we look in our house and out of our house is just this doom and misery. And that's really hard to navigate without feeling like you end up taking it out on your relationship. So yeah, we've had a rough year. And at the same time, like Per said, there is a lot to be said for when you can get through the really rough times by turning to each other instead of turning away from each other. Like, it's nice to discover after a million years of marriage that mm-hmm. there's still stuff we can discover about who we are in a crisis and how we can help each other.
Yeah.
This is Erica Heilman with Vermont Public.